on the Fringe with Gemma Delaney on WLR.
Welcome back to On the Fringe with me, Gemma Delaney. First up on tonight's show, I'm having a chat with Dick Roach, local street historian, who talks to me all about the origins of Waterford and where the original Waterford City was. It must be a month since we were talking, Dick Roach, is it?
It's coming on a month now, I think.
I'd say it is.
Yeah.
That mad. That's
a long
quick
time
month.
Not to see my sister from another sister.
We were just saying off air how
the
we're
more
like
we're chatting,
the
more alike we find out we are.
Tell us this, Dick. What tales and lore and legends have you got?
Well, as I told you, I came out highly prepared. I changed the story coming out in the car, but what it was is that I think when I was saying the first one of the year, Gemma, one of the biggest things on my page last year was when I found out that the history books were blown apart in 2003 in Waterford. And what it is that Reginald's Tower, which was actually originally a wooden structure until the Normans came along for 200 years.
Did not know that.
That's a, as we know, that was on the, you know, the link between John's River and the River Shore. Mm-hmm. But if you go a couple of miles up the river, there's a site called Woodstown.
Woodstown.
Woodstown. Now, not the Woodstown out where you're about eating the ice cream in
no,
the summer.
No, different one altogether.
This site was discovered by a group of archaeologists, just a small group. And what came into my head is that there was a story on the news last night about Wood Quay in Dublin. They're moving the council offices. There was more, 5% of this site out in Woodstown was excavated, and there was more stuff found in that 5% than was found in the whole of Wood Quay. It's probably the most important Viking site that was ever found in Europe.
Isn't that
and
incredible?
It's still not after being excavated, by the way, which it should be, right? But I'll tell you what, the history books were blown apart. The original town of Waterford was actually 3 or 4 miles up the river from the town we know. And for about 100 years, the two sites mixed. They would have went up the river, down the river. It didn't all happen that they were all living up there and then they all moved down to Reginald's
Tower. Oh, go away, so the boat
come on,
existed.
Lads, we head down there. they didn't do that. The boat existed for about 100 years and that the Vikings were actually here 100 years before the history books, when we were taught in school, 915, was the original town of Waterford was 3 or 4 miles up the river in a site called Woodstown.
Isn't that mad?
I think it is, because it was, out of all the videos I've done last year, I'm always only learning as I'm going.
Well, should we all are?
Yeah, I'm being told and then I'm telling ye. And that was the one that blew my mind the most. So I was kind of coming out in the car saying, what one last year now, the first one of the year, was the most important one for me? I thought that was important because there was another story behind it too. I done a video last week when I went out on the castle down the island down the river.
Yeah.
And it was called Dane's Island. And an old buddy of mine, Donny, who lives over in Kilkenny, I'm not supposed to be talking to him in a
while. He's all right. He's an honorary Waterfordian. We'll accept him.
But
for the purposes of this segment.
I was doing it for professional purposes. He told me that he had records of where the locals were fighting with the Danes. And they were calling them Danes there as well. And as well, St. Catherine's Abbey, that's down by the courthouse, was built by Danes over 1,000 years ago. So where they weren't really being called Vikings, they were being called Danes in all these records.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought it was just one that a lot of people don't know about. Still, after 23 years now since they found it, that the original town of Waterford was up the river. And where, if you wanted to go and see it, you go along our fantastic Greenway, in the most beautiful county in all of Ireland. You can walk along the Greenway and it's just before you get to... say it for me. Oh, jeez. It's not escaping me now. But if you go out where the Greenway starts out, you go along it about 3 or 4 miles and the old site of Woodstown is there. And not after being excavated, it should be excavated. I know there's a committee set up now to try and bring a bit
I'd
of tourism
love to get
there.
On board with that.
Yeah, I
actually would now. Yeah. I always said if I didn't go into radio, I would love to be an archaeologist. I'm mad in history. I love all that crack.
Well, there's a committee set up to try and bring a bit of tourism as well to it. Could we create a town? Now, when you're talking about a site, it wasn't just a load of, you know, fellas camping. Mm. There's buildings on top of building here. And I'm talking about big structures of buildings. There was actually a town there, like.
You'd have to wonder as well what it was like back in the day. Was it like modern day Waterford City and Ferrybank, where is this rivalry? Like, no, we're not Waterford. Yeah, we are. Like, were they pulling the heads off each other, or were they all happy days?
A bit like Mount Sinai, no more, or something like that. But look at them fickers up there. But there was actually a big side of a town here, and what also was what they think that there was actually slavery going on.
Wow.
That, yeah, they have two trenches around this site that were really defensive in the river. And when I was walking along the river, there's kind of a lay in the river. You can see why they pulled in there when you're actually walking along, because it's kind of a lay in the river where the town came about.
Ah, Dick, you may bring me out with you the next day. Yeah. I would love that now.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I love that.
And I want to just shout out the support of that committee, and I hope that the local powers that be give them the support, because Waterford is so beautiful. It's undiscovered. Yeah. We have the oldest city in Ireland, and now we're after discovering that the oldest city in Ireland had an original place up the river.
Yeah, another 100 years earlier.
Another 100 years earlier. Isn't and they were much? Going between the sites. So I hope that committee gets off the ground and gets supported, because it's all about nowadays trying to get the tourists over to have a look at what we have here, because we have such a beautiful city and county.
It's so true. And if any members of that committee are listening in, 083 333 975, you might drop us in an old text or whatever.
Gemma is going to finance you. She's going to give you 20 grand. She's going to write you a check.
I can't finance myself, which is stuck. It's the longest week.
Yeah.
Dick Roach, a pleasure as always. Absolutely love having you in the studio, and we'll see you next Monday.
Brilliant, Gemma.
Thank you. Thanks, Dick.
Thank you.
On the Fringe with Gemma Delaney on WLR.
It's that time of year where we are all making our New Year's resolutions, and Damien Tiernan is no different. He has enlisted the help of Irish teacher Abby Walsh to make him a Gaelgore.
Tommy and Eg Tusnu, we're starting a little series in relation to Gaeilge, Eg Fowlum Gaeilge, a little bit of learning Irish. And this is for anybody who might have little or no Irish, may have some pidgin Irish from their school days, maybe some of the new Irish who are looking to learn a bit of Irish. So why not? Give it a go. And we hope to maybe inspire you over the next 5 weeks to have a look at some programmes Os Gaeilge, to have a listen to more programmes Os Gaeilge, to maybe go on TikTok or Instagram in terms of Irish speakers. One person whom we came across last year was Abby Walsh. She had been nominated for the Waterford Rose, and she represented Waterford with aplomb at the Rose of Tralee Festival. She's a Moontour in the Gaelscoil in Ballygunner. So she's going to be helping us out, and hopefully we're going to talk to a number of other teachers, maybe Catherine, Augustine, Ella, Os an Ryan, over the next 5 or 6 weeks. So it's about learning Irish and learning it with a bit of fun, a bit of crack, and no pressure whatsoever. So Neil Moore on Gaeilge Gum. I don't have an awful lot of Irish, so I'm actually really looking forward to this piece. Something that I suggested to Jennifer before Christmas. So we'll give it a little go. Now, obviously, to Abby, our Skull and Majin Shaw, she's in Skull, so she wasn't able to do a little piece with us. So I had a little chat with her yesterday evening, and you'll see some of the videos up on social media as well. So, Lanaraig, Abby Walsh, Abby, do you quit?
Do you smart good, Damien?
I've started.
You have.
I certainly have. First thing. That's the first thing. Okay, so we're going to have a bit of crack and a bit of fun with this. We're doing this on Sunday evening because you are in school now on Monday morning. Taught to Ash Godion Skull. I'm really nervous about this. I'm really nervous about the next 5 weeks. I suppose, is it natural to be nervous?
Definitely. Absolutely natural. I think everyone is, and I think that's why the whole stigma about speaking Irish is such a big thing. But sure, look, you have to do it.
And where has that stigma come from, do you think? Because we spoke about this briefly before.
I'd say a lot is to do with the school, the education system, and how you had to learn it in school and how it was compulsory. You had to learn it, you had to do it. There was no opting out of it or anything like that. And there was such a thing on getting the A or getting the B and all of this. It wasn't a language, it was just a subject. That's my opinion on it anyway.
Now, you're allowed to throw in a couple of fuga. There you go again, you see, I'm getting tongue-tied. Couple of fuckle in between of all of this, because we were just saying off air, we saw a piece on the telly over the weekend about the cafe in Monaghan.
Yes.
If I met you on the street, I'd be really nervous to speak a bit of Irish, because I know that you'd have full Irish.
In saying that, I went to school in Irish, went to college in Irish, done degree, yeah, done everything, Os Gaeilge and everything, and I'm teaching in Irish, but I don't have a degree in Irish. I don't have an Aistricháin, like a translation degree or anything remotely like that. that. When you asked me to do it, I was a bit nervous in case the whole thing was going to be in Irish and I got a little grammar wrong here or there. You know, certain people listening definitely probably have a better standard of Irish than me. I know I'm fluent and I speak it and I'm always teaching it and whatever, but just, I'm not always right.
Conosidertur fluent os Gaeilge.
Lifa.
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 So, ta to a kind Gaeilge. Golifa?
Gaclo, yeah. Golifa Gaclo.
Golifa Gaclo, yeah. Okay. Fluently Gaclo. So Lifa Gaclo. Yeah. So if you wanted to say to somebody, Neil May Lifa, Gaeilge, is that the wrong grammar?
Well, you say Gaeilge.
Gaeilge.
In Irish.
Neil May Lifa.
Gaeilge. No, Gaeilge.
Really. Gaeilge, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
And we wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah, but
in other
worry
words,
like
the grammar.
That. Like I said, Sa there, and then when I put in a sentence, works better.
Neil May Lifa, Gaeilge. So there's a first little thing. If you wanted to talk to somebody on the street and somebody and you felt, oh, they had more Irish, you just say, Neil May Lifa, Gaeilge. Neil May Lifa, Gaeilge. I'm not fluent in Irish. Neil May Lifa, Gaeilge. Now, in terms of yourself, you mentioned obviously about school, your Rose career as well.
Yes.
And you spoke a lot of Irish during that sort of
absolutely
episode of your life, didn't you? Yeah,
that was a big thing I wanted to get out there was, you know, it is a language, it's not a subject. I know I'm a teacher and I do teach it and whatever, but it's not a subject, it's a language, it's part of our culture, our heritage. We want to preserve it. We don't want it kind of, you don't mind if it is, what's the saying, Gaeilge Brista and on a Gaeilge Béarla Cliste, you know, like broken Irish is better than the most amazing English. So I suppose I wanted to get out that it doesn't have to be perfect. You just kind of speak it and get on, you know, like get on with it and give it a go.
Okay. So again, a phrase you've heard say, Gaeilge Brista, broken Irish, nu Béarla Cliste.
Yeah.
Which is perfect English.
Perfect English. Or perfect clever. English. Clever is the direct translation.
Clever. Cliste.
Yeah,
okay.
Good Irish.
So there you go. So again, if somebody is Lifa os Gaeilge, Sa Gaeilge, would they look down on somebody if they don't speak perfect Irish?
In this day and age, I don't think so.
No.
I definitely wouldn't. No, I'm not coming from a Gaeltacht area. I just learnt it in school and stuff. But I suppose, like, I'm happy to hear everyone speaking Irish. You know, if you might say, like, I came in the door today, it's not on the radio, I wasn't pre-recorded, and you might have said something there and I wouldn't have said, oh geez, you said that wrong. You know, like, I was just happy you tried it. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect all the time. Like, or even like that, if you say to someone, well, Neil May Lifa os Gaeilge, great, but at least you tried, you gave me a sentence. Geez, you weren't Lifa os Gaeilge, but you gave me the sentence. You know, it was great that you could do that, and you're expecting then a few grammar mistakes or maybe the sentence to be jumbled up or whatever, but at least they have the vocab, or they're trying at least.
Yeah. First thing we have to overcome is nervousness and embarrassment. So if I, and I did a lot of Duolingo for Italian before I went to Italy, but I felt so nervous about saying anything. And I'd be quite confident in lots of respects in different parts of my life. But something like this, like singing, I just get so nervous and I then don't do it. So I would have a fair bit of Gaeilge. I did Honours Irish. I went to the Gaeltacht in Fiontraw in Ventry for one summer, but it's all gone now. Now, I'd have a little bit here and there.
It's definitely there.
But I get so nervous. So just explain to people, if you wouldn't mind, what should people think about? What should I think about if I feel a little bit nervous? How do I overcome that nervousness?
It's just pushing yourself. Like, you only live once, just give it a go. What's the worst that can happen? You know, like, it's very easy saying, I know, and I went off and I done the Rose, but like that, I was very nervous about doing something like that, but I said, you know what, I'm going to go for it. And what is the worst that can happen? Like, you're not going to fall on your face when you do, you know, like a word comes out wrong or you don't know a word, you're not going to face plant onto the ground and, you know, make a show of yourself. That's not going to happen.
I'll blush and I'll go red and somebody will tell me I'm stupid. No, they won't tell me that, will they?
No, I wouldn't anyway. Not at all. No. Well, I suppose, like, you get the praise after. Like, you know, everyone loves a bit of praise. Like, I'd go home now and Mum and Dad would be like, just well done, you've done great, you know, at the dinner table. And I suppose if you were to talk in Irish, you go, geez, thanks for trying. You know, that was great. That was lovely that you used a few words there.
Okay, so tell me about your Ahar agus, your mother and father. Consider it your mother and father as Gaeilge?
Well, there's a few ways now. Moher, Ahar are probably your correct terms,
okay.
But I suppose Mum and Dad as well.
Mum and Dad, you can use that.
Yeah, Mum agus Dad.
Do they kind Gaeilge?
No.
No?
No. Dad wouldn't have a word. No, Dad in school was just, I'd say.
So he could be listening to this now.
Yeah.
And hopefully he'll learn.
But he will know the words.
He will know the words.
He probably didn't listen the best in school, but he'll definitely know them. They're definitely there somewhere. It's just to get them out. Mum probably listened that little bit more in school and probably, you know, applied herself a bit more that she would have the Irish to speak it. But like that, she's nervous. But we do. Me and my brother get her speaking a bit more. Me and my brother Killian went to the same school, so we both have the same level of Irish. She's doing his Leaving Cert at the minute. So I suppose he better have a good level for that, the oral exam. But I suppose, like, we speak it at home, me and Killian, you know, if we're talking about mum or dad, if we want to do something and they don't want us doing it, we'll have a chat in Irish.
Okay.
They do know what we're talking about.
So you'll use it mischievously.
Yeah, but they definitely know what we're talking about.
When I sent you this idea and you came back with me and you came back with sort of five different ideas, and we'll go through them week by week, but today we're just kind of giving in an introduction. And speaking of introductions, Bannockty, Cuddas Breela Bannockty, what does this mean? Again, that's another phrase, Cuddas Breela. In other words, people should think of that phrase because they'll use that phrase if they're asking somebody.
What's the meaning of?
Okay. So Cuddas Breela Bannockty.
Welcomes, really.
Welcomes.
Yeah, welcomes.
Okay,
Bannockty. How to welcome someone.
How to welcome someone. The obvious one is Diaguit.
Yeah, and then Dia Smirgwith would be your answer. A lot of people would reply with Diaguit, but it's actually Dia Smirgwith.
Dia Smirgwith.
If someone said Diaguit to me, like you were mentioning your nervousness, they tried.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind.
Okay. So you go up to somebody and you say, Diaguit.
Dia Smirgwith.
Now, just on that, is there any phrase in Irish to say hello without using a religious thing? It doesn't matter. I'm not that religious. I may well be sometimes, but and it's fine. I like using Diaguit. I'll say to people, God bless as well and all that.
Yeah.
So it's fine and I'm no issue. But is there any, or is it just, would you just say well? Would you just say hello?
Hi, H-A-I-G-H.
H-A-I-G-H.
Is hi.
Hi.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I would text hi to the girls or, you know, whatever, to my principal or something. Yeah,
okay.
If I had to, yeah.
And you would do all your texting with your...
It depends, yeah. Like my colleagues and my principal, my boss and stuff, all Oscailga, obviously.
Okay.
And then my girls that I went to college with would be in Irish. We've our group chat's Oscailga.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
We went to college in Irish, so I suppose if we didn't know, it would be a bit anticlimactic.
That's cool. Consider her cool Oscailga.
Cool.
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 Cool
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Like there's a lot of Bairlicus. Like we use the word Bairlicus as well. There is a lot of English in Irish. Well, I suppose English had a big impact on the Irish language. So there is a lot of Bairlicus is the word. So a lot of English words in Irish.
Okay. So again, anybody who's a gobber talking cupal fuckle, don't worry about speaking a little bit, throwing in an English word every now and then.
Yeah, I throw English in every now and again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I suppose it keeps the colloquialism as well in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Diaguit. So you go up to somebody. Diaguit.
Diasmargwit.
Conasatatu.
No, there's loads to say for that. So you could say Thomegama.
Okay.
Neil
but
Ange
just for
Gael.
People that don't know, Conasatatu means how are you?
Okay. How are you?
So again, just to start the ball rolling this week, just very simple Bannockty, very simple welcomes, greetings. So Diaguit, the Asmeragwit, Conasatatu. So then how would you say, give me some of the different options.
You could say Tomegama, Tomearaus, Tomearmwinnamwicca is a lovely one. I always tell the students to say that.
Okay, say that again.
Tomearmwinnamwicca.
Okay, Cuddas Breela Shin.
I'm really excited. You know, something could be coming up. I'm really excited or I'm over the moon.
Tomearmwinnamwicca. And what's the direct translation of that?
It's actually something to do with pigs. So
yeah.
I won't say the actual saying because it's not probably appropriate for the radio.
Right.
But
I'm as happy as a pig.
Yeah.
Happy as a pig in number two.
Well, I suppose it's not the direct translation, but that's what it's used for sometimes.
Okay.
That's how I learned it anyway.
And do you tell your children that?
No, I wouldn't say that, no. But I would show a picture of a very happy pig to say we're as happy as this pig.
Okay, I like that. I didn't know that one,
no,
actually. I've learned
I
something
learned,
new.
That's what I was told. So whether that be true or not true, that's
no,
what a lecturer
be,
told
it
me
could
before.
Be true, yeah. Because I went up to Cashel there the other day and we passed through Powell na Mucca. Mucca is obviously pig and Powell means the hole. The pig's bum, like
yeah,
you know what I
yeah,
mean.
Yeah.
So, Ermwinnamwicca, Tomé Ermwinnamwicca.
Yeah.
Okay. Ermwinnamwicca. So everybody, Tomé Ermwinnamwicca. I'm as happy as a pig. Okay, that's a good one.
And that obviously goes without saying. You've used Tomé in the start of every sentence. So Tomé Gama, I am good. Tomé Ermwinnamwicca, I am as happy as whatever. And then you know, if you were sad or if you were upset, you probably have the word Brownock. Tomé Brownock. You know, you could throw that in as well. You know where. Neil Megama, you know the verb, it doesn't, I know a lot of people are nervous about the verb and stuff, but you use Tomé a lot, you know, there's three sentences for you with it.
Very simple. that, like, Tomé, in some languages you have, I have this feeling. No, you can use that as well, but you just, in Irish, Oscailgi, you just say Tomé, I am, and then whatever it is.
Whatever.
And then you can say, Ta an áthas orm, I have a lot of happiness on me.
On me, yeah.
Okay, but Ta áthas orm, Ta an áthas orm, Tomé araus. Araus means wonderful.
Wonderful.
Tomé araus. And it's, again, we won't even have to think of the words, but that begins with an F.
Araus, yes,
F-H. F-H. Yeah. Okay, Tomé araus.
Yeah.
But I think in the course of these 5 weeks, we won't talk about how the spellings of these things happen. If people want to get it in their head, they can use it. But just, how are we going to try and teach people Irish in the next 5 weeks? Is it phonetics? Is it, what is it?
I think hearing it. Definitely hearing it. You learn more about your ear, I think, than reading and writing and stuff like that. Definitely. Just listening. Listen to the radio.
And again, you're going to give a little bit of, I suppose, homework for people this week in terms of following up stuff. But just to get people to listen. So what should people do this week to try and speak a little bit of Irish?
Even if you're, a lot of people use the bus nowadays. You know, on the bus, I'd say a lot of the bus drivers would have Diaguit, Diasmargwit in the shop, Slán. You know, just simple, or Gurv Mahagut, or, you know, going into the butchers, you get your meat on a sun Saturday morning or whatever. Gurv Mahagut. A lot of people would understand it. You know, just throw in one every day, just try something.
Now, Guramagut means thank you.
Thank you.
Slán lat, Slán, goodbye, Slán lat.
Yeah.
Staying or leaving, you mentioned Aflín fui Vaisha Gwit, Cuddesbury Lashin.
Aflín fui Vaisha Dit would be Happy New Year. So I suppose it's start of January, everyone's saying Happy New Year, Aflín fui Vaisha Dit. Now, not everyone might have that, but there you go. If you heard it now here today, you could use it.
Okay, Aflín. So Vlín is the Irish for year.
Yeah.
Aflín is what? New, is it?
New Year. Yeah, it would be New Year.
New Year. Fui Vaisha Dit. So you're wishing it onto somebody,
onto
is
someone.
It? Fui Vaisha Dit. So Dit is to you. So wishing somebody a Happy New Year. Aflín fui Vaisha Dit. So four words. Aflín, beginning with A. Fi, F-A-O-I, Vaisha Dit. Aflín fui Vaisha Dit. Okay, so you could say that to somebody when you say hello to them.
Maybe, yeah.
Or somebody as you're leaving.
As you're leaving, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, a couple of other words that you'd like to maybe impart today. Anything else?
A lovely one, and I think a lot of people still have them on their table. You know, when they're not used, it's a Christmas cracker. I love this word, pleiscoge. A lovely word.
How does Brila pleiscoge?
So pleisc would actually be to kind of pop or to erupt or something like that. So pleiscoge then would be a small explosion cracker. That would be your direct translation. Og meaning small or young or something like that. You know, you have a lot of ogs in some words. So look og, a small mouth, you know, stuff like that. Og means small. So then pleisc, explosion, pleiscoge, cracker.
Okay.
Love that word.
And again, for people, if you put the word og onto something at the end of something, it gives it that small.
Yeah, small. Or een is another one. I for the n, een. Like a chockeen would be a small house, or breedeen, you know.
Chockeen would be a small house. So chock is house, chockeen would be a small house.
Small house, yeah. Or you'd have like a colleen. I know it's call would not mean girl, but colleen is girl. But colleen, that's a small woman's name, you know, at the end of the word.
Yeah.
Another one, like breedeen. I would know breedeen. Her mum's name would be Breed. Breedeen. Young breed or
young
whatever.
Young breed, yeah. Yes. Bioganeen.
Yeah, there's another one.
Cottesbrile. Begone.
Tiny.
So
not small, but
Diogani.
Tiny.
Yeah. Tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
So, Diagwit.
Dias Margaret.
Conestatu.
Thomegma.
Conestatu Lehen Tasira. How was your holidays? Am I wrong with what does Lehen Tasira mean?
No, holidays, yeah. You're right.
Conestat V.
Conestat V, yeah.
How was your Lehen Tasira?
So, V Sheed Arouse.
V Sheed Arouse.
Yeah.
On Rev to Sawalia.
V May Sawalia.
Ca will to Idogoni.
Tomé Maconi in Port Lariga.
Port Lariga. In Balia Vic Gunner.
In Malia Vic Gunner, yeah.
Malia Vic Gunner. August ta Balia Vic Gunner egg Imont Hurling.
Mm-hmm.
Conus Dirter Hurling.
Imont. Yeah.
August the dinner at Nullug. Ca Rev 2, where were you?
Vi Meiswalia.
Okay.
August vi Mavam, Mayad, Magrahar, Ma Fort Nair, August Ahish Mori.
Okay.
Yeah.
August Cada V2 egg Ihe. What were you eating?
I'm going to dinner, so vi livosh, turkey, proti.
Livosh,
ham.
Ham?
Yes.
Turkey is turkey?
Yeah, well, different spelling, but yeah.
Okay.
Proti, I think everyone knows. proti, caraged. What else?
Turnip?
No.
Brussels sprouts?
No. No, no.
And Cockamillish?
Oh, Kinta.
Afterwards?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Cúpla Cóca.
Cúpla Cóca Milish. Okay, very good. Okay, go Raimíle Mágat. Now, next week, what are we looking people to do? We want people to just learn a bit of Irish,
yeah.
Speak a few words.
Try it. Well, every day you go somewhere, just try something, even if it's a Díogaíocht or a Gaeilge Mágat or a Slán. Give it a go.
Give it a go. Okay. And how do you increase your folklore? Should you literally maybe pick up the... There's loads of things on the phone to pick up the translates and stuff like that. How would you pick up a few extra words?
Even if you are on, you know, everyone's on Facebook, Instagram, everything nowadays, follow one person that speaks in Irish. You know, like I learned an awful lot of kind of slang Irish through TikTok and stuff like that. You know, just like stuff that I wouldn't have learned in school because it's not per the Caidón. But I would have kind of picked it up from TikTok and watching other people, even one account, and just you might pick up something. Okay. Maybe if you're into cleaning, like you might follow someone that cleans in Irish or,
okay.
You know. Yeah, are into shopping.
Are you into cleaning?
I am.
Are you?
Mam definitely is.
What star sign are you?
Me, I'm a Libra.
Libra, is that a typical Libra thing?
I don't think so. I think Libras are quite, they're not very decisive people, I think.
Right,
that's
but
what
you're
it
very
is. I'm quite, yeah, straight to it now.
Okay, very good. Go Raimíle Mágat. Beg to Agdullar Skull Amorach. You're going to be going to school tomorrow. August Gunairi on Tallat. Coddus Brilishin.
Best of luck to you.
Gunairi on Tallat. August Offlin Fui Voshagwit. I didn't actually knew that. Offlin Fui Voshagwit.
Gurabowli dit.
Gurabowli dit.
Straight back at you.
Gurabowli dit.
Yes.
There's another one. Gurabowli. It sounds like Garibaldi, the guy that sorted out Italy. Say it again.
Gurabowli dit.
Gurabowli dit. Back at you.
Yeah.
So even if you don't learn any Irish, just say to somebody as you're leaving them, Gurabowli dit.
Yeah, yeah.
Back at you.
Yeah. Or if I'll see you tomorrow, like a thing in our school is like, Kime Moraku, or, you know, be a Tronona Dasagut, Gurabowli dit. Someone will always say, I'll see you tomorrow, have a great day.
Gurabowli dit.
Have a great whatever, you know, and then all the parents now at the end of Christmas holidays would have said, have a great Christmas, and we'd all, Gurabowli dit.
Gurabowli dit.
Straight back at you.
I like that one. Okay, yeah. Gurabowli. Garibaldi, Gurabowli dit. Abby Walsh, Conestertor, Abby Walsh, Shos Gaeilge.
Abby Brannock.
Abby Brannock. And there's no Gaeilge translation for Abby.
You can spell it in a few Irish spellings. Unfortunately, Mum and Dad picked the English one for me, so I'm a wild at the end.
Don't say that.
Yeah.
Don't say that. She's not feeling bitter about this, Mum and Dad. Don't worry. So, Abby Ní Brannock?
Just Abby Brannock.
Abby Brannock?
Yes.
There's no knee.
No, there's no knee. Don't actually know why.
Really?
Yeah, I don't actually know why, but I do. If you're, say, if you're married or unmarried, you'd have your knee or your E, your UI father. Yeah.
Okay, because I would think Seamus O'Brannock, Seamus Walsh, Seamus, it would just be Seamus Brannock.
Yeah, I would say Seamus Brannock.
Seamus Brannock.
Yeah.
And again, I'm saying Brannock, you're saying Brannock.
Yeah.
The emphasis on the second syllable.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter.
Brannock, yeah. Brannock. The TH in the middle is kind of silent.
Brannock,
yeah.
Abby Brannock. Gura Mahagut, Gurabowli dit.
Gurabowli dit.
On the Fringe with Gemma Delaney on WLR.
A theatre for Tramore. Well, could be a reality at long last for the community. Damien Tiernan sat down with Gareth Wise to talk about their plans for just that.
In studio, I have Gareth Wise. Good morning, Gareth.
Good morning, Damien.
Good to see you. Thank you very, very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much for having us in here.
Not
great to be chatting to you.
And hello to James. I know James couldn't make us this morning. Now, the situation regarding the campaign for a theatre in Tramore. Just remind our listeners, what is the situation? There isn't a fully fledged theatre in Tramore. The Coast Guard Centre is used every now and then for different things.
But why
is there a need for a theatre in Tramore?
Well, I think the demand sort of jumps off the page itself. If you've been to any of the Stage Mad productions around Tramore in the last while, I mean, we did the last one, the Seahorse Tragedy, and we sold it out. So, I mean, and it's just growing, the amount of groups and the amount of interest, and even James with Stage Mad were in doing a Streetcar Named Desire again a while ago, again sold out over five nights. So we were sort of, we realised we were pushing an open door. So 3 years, Tramore Area Community Theatre was a company set up by myself, James and a bunch of other interested, experienced and very professional people from the arts and community and voluntary and media sectors. So the council, through Tramore Town Centre Management Group, applied for a feasibility study. This is 3 years ago. That was €50,000, and thankfully a representative from TACT, who was myself at the time, worked with the council, and we did the evaluation of the tendering for that. Dennis Byrne Associates were successful, and then I was sort of helping them with the council to get the bits of information that they needed about the feasibility study. So basically we brought them around Tramore and I showed them like 14 potential sites or whatever, you know. We gave them a business modelling sort of plans. We did cash flow analysis, and a very important thing, we did an online survey, which people might remember was a while ago. We got 5% of 500 people in Tramore replied to that survey. I mean, it's a phenomenal response, and they all said they're crying out for it. So I mean, the demand is just, it's absolutely huge. But the feasibility study was so successful in revealing the unmet demand in Tramore that they got an extension, which is why it's after taking so long, and I presume they got extra resources for it as well. And basically it started to grow and grow. So where it was a small community group and that developed into a company, it's now the council sort of taking it on as a project for themselves, when the feasibility study revealed that Tramore as a town, as a growing town, as the biggest town in the county and a growing town, needs facilities and services like this for its population.
So what's the breaking news, as they would say?
The breaking news is that the feasibility study is completed. It's with the council. It has to be brought to the next Tramore Town Centre Management Group meeting, which hopefully will be in the next couple of weeks. So they will basically accept this feasibility study. They will hopefully then recommend it to the full council, the plenary, and then council officials, council executives and councillors will agree that this is actually going to be the plan for the future development of Tramore along these lines of social, cultural, artistic, community, voluntary, sporting facilities and services in the town. So this will basically lay out the blueprint for the development of the town over the coming decades. And I'm talking decades. We're talking, this is a generational, once in a generational opportunity for development of the town.
This potentially then could be a multi-million euro development.
Absolutely. And I know people are throwing around numbers crazy like that now, but when you start off with a theatre and it becomes much bigger, it does become bigger. You don't get much, unfortunately, these days for anything less than millions we're talking about. But this would be the biggest infrastructure project in Tramore in my lifetime, apart from maybe the Ring Road or something like that. As standalone projects, this has the potential to utterly transform the town of Tramore.
It's great news. So the feasibility study basically has confirmed what you knew, what a lot of people knew, but it's put it down on paper and it's backed it up with facts and figures in terms of the population base, the demand that is there. As you say, some people would say, oh, 5% return is not great, but it is a good return in terms of these type of things.
It's huge.
500 people is a lot of people to respond to something like this. What that means then is that there's nothing to counteract that. Like, this will be accepted. Again, we won't prejudge anything, but this will be accepted by the Town Management Committee and then go to the plenary. So then you'll have options.
Yes.
And various options will be discussed about where to build or where to site the new theatre.
Yes.
Or theatre complex, if we want to call
yes.
it, cultural centre. How many different locations have been proposed or are being looked at?
Well, when Dennis Byrne and his colleagues came down, and they're great, they're very well experienced people, but they weren't as familiar with Tramore as obviously we were. So we brought them around. I think there was 14 physical sites we identified. So, I mean, it depends how big it is, accessibility, traffic, all sorts of things. Public transport, is it close to where people live, you know? So how big is it going to be? What does it have to do? How can people get to it? How will it fit in with the surrounding environment? You know, how will it impact the local population of where it's going to be? So all these things are very carefully weighed up as regards this. And so hopefully now we're looking at the idea being feasible. And now the next step is that the council would sort of approach landowners with the idea of maybe proposing that they actually come on board with this project.
And are all those 14 potential sites, are they greenfield sites or some of them brownfield sites, or as they say, are some of them buildings that may be renovated?
It was a mixture. It was very much a mixture. But unfortunately, the problem is these days, if you're going to take old buildings, you have the problem of repurposing that building, perhaps, do you know what the character was, and then the confines of where it physically might be based. You do a greenfield site, you're halfway at the garrets maybe as well to, you know, get a nice big field or something like that. So you have to weigh all these things into consideration. How will it fit? How will it work? So basically, we're looking for forward to seeing the results of the feasibility study, which will hopefully have all the answers to this, and the council will then have more than enough information and at their disposal to be able to make decisions and then act.
It's great news. It really is great news. It's big news. And fair play to you and James and everybody involved in the different groups that have worked really hard behind the scenes to get to this stage. Again, probably too many people to mention, but there are a lot of people passionate about the arts in Tramore and around Tramore, and they have worked assiduously behind the scenes.
Absolutely. I can't emphasise enough how much effort is put into this. I mean, I was saying it to James years ago. It wouldn't be any harm if Stage Mad was to, you know, be prominent in the town. And sure, he managed to cajole me to go on stage at one point, which I've never done before in my life. And I can only speak from personal experience, but it was the most exhilarating thing I think I've ever done in my life. The adrenaline is just unnatural. The buzz of the whole thing about it. And I remember as well, it's about process rather than product. You've got to remember, if we have a community theatre, the staff, the volunteers, everybody working in it, they're all part of the process. The product, which might be just plays or performances, it's like the tip of the iceberg. So, I mean, what you do is the tip of the iceberg is what people see in the stage, and the iceberg is the whole community and organisation behind it growing. And this is what we want to make for the town. So people from when they're very young in school until they're very old will be able to actively engage with what we're talking about, either as volunteers, either as actors, either as, you know, behind the scenes people, as you know, people acting, becoming involved in it, becoming patrons, volunteers. Potential is huge.
What is the overall population of Tramore at the minute, do we know, approximately?
Well, I'd say approximately, we're probably talking about 11,500 at this stage. But I mean, if we take the school as an example, when I was in secondary school, it was 250 in the school. Now there's 250 in each class. And I'm not actually that old. The school, the new school was built for, I think, 900. It now has, I think, 1,200, 1,300 students.
250 in each year, I'd say.
Yes, 250 in each year. So the thing is, Tramore is growing exponentially. It is now a very attractive and desirable place to live. So what the town has to do through the council is provide the facilities and services to really help the town to grow into the potential that it has. I mean, if you look at the sports facilities and things in Tramore, you look at the surf club, you look at these things, the GAA, the soccer club, the athletics club, the running club, things like this, they're all bursting at the seams, looking for facilities and places to do it, to fulfil the demand that's there of a growing population of town who are young, energetic, enthusiastic, and they're looking to make lives.
They really are, and the amount of houses that have been built, you mentioned the Ring Road earlier, housing estates along the Ring Road and there, various areas, and imagine a lot of those people in those houses, young enough couples, maybe with one child, other children coming on board. The next 5 to 10 years, they're going to be looking for all different types of facilities, and the sporting facilities, as you say, really in demand. But the cultural facilities, this is really important, and we know how important culture is for helping the development of children and you know, taking people off the streets, but
Absolutely.
Also just
Absolutely.
Giving the place a better soul.
Absolutely. And I think social cohesion and the social capital of the town is what we're fundamentally talking about. We're talking about the social contract of Tramore. The contract between the people and the town is represented by the council. The council has an opportunity now to rise to the challenge to meet the demands of a growing population with growing needs. The town will rise to the occasion of this. I have no doubt about it. The council are rising to the occasion. I can't express my gratitude enough to council, people working in the council. The effort they have put in to get this far after 3 years. I mean, it's not just, you don't just come up with this. The council have to take into account area development plan, local development plan, spatial strategy, county, all these things have to be taken into account. So, I mean, even though it might seem a long time, and it is a long time, you really have to get your ducks in a row. This is where the hard work has been done by the council. So I think the hard work of the council is meeting the imagination of the population. And I think when the two come together, what can happen for the town can future-proof it for generations. I can't emphasise that enough.
Gareth Wise, inspirational words and inspirational work by you and James and everybody involved, and well done to Stage Mad, but all the different people involved, as we say, too many to mention. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Damon. Much appreciated.
Not at
happy
all.
Happy New Year.
Many, many happy returns, and keep in touch. And
we will be back soon, hopefully with more news.
Please God. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
As always, a huge thank you to all of my guests tonight. Well, that's all the time we have for On The Fringe, but make sure to check us out every Tuesday, 6 to 7 here on WLR.